Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Phony, fake news events that become phony historical facts. How and why? That's what we are going to be discussing on today's show. Our guest is going to be Professor Francisco Gil White. It's always exciting when we have him on. There's always a lot of interest and sometimes even friction. We argue a lot on the air, but we really like each other off the air. Don't worry. But he's very stimulating intellectually. He brings up things that many or even most of us don't think about. And he teaches about this and has taught about this in universities and colleges, etc. And this is something that our new generation, the millennials, have not been able to learn, and that is critical thinking, to be able to know how to think and not just be spoon-fed and then just talk like a parrot. He, our guest, Dr. Francisco Gil White, makes one think, whether you agree with him or not, it should be a very interesting show. So, does anybody remember some fake news events or fake media broadcasts that put people into a mass panic? Think back about Orson Welles' 1938 CBS radio dramatization of War of the Worlds, when people thought that Martians were invading the Earth. Some people, they say, almost, I don't know, did they commit suicide? People were jumping out of the windows, who knows what. People were scared. People were frightened. And so what are the phony, fake news events that we're hearing about today that have become phony historical facts? And this is going to be something that I think is going to be very, very interesting for all of us. I want to say hi to everybody from all over the world who is listening, from all over the United States and Israel, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia. Hello in Saudi Arabia. It's so nice. Introduce yourself. We'd love to get to meet you. Argentina and Pakistan and other places as well, the Netherlands, etc., etc. So great to see everybody here. Remember, this is a live show that you can call into and join us in the chat room. It's the orange button on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I'd love to see you there. Say hi. We'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and the topic today, phony fake news events that became phony historical facts. By the way, there's also the rewriting of history, and that becomes facts as well. Is it true? Is it not true? How do we even know what to believe anymore? The media plays a huge role in this, and we're going to be speaking now with our guest, Professor Francisco Gil White. He is a professor at the Etam University in Mexico City. His website is called Historical and Investigative Research, and it was created to make important documentation available to the general public, because he states that the academic system is rife with politically biased censorship when it comes to examining the foreign policy of the United States and what is driving world politics, movements, and agendas. You can check out his website at hirhome.com. We will link to that, hirhome.com. We will link to that on the page where the show is podcasted. By the way, as I'm reading this title, I'm thinking right now of the news headlines of Facebook that says that they are now going to downgrade the availability and the spreading of pages that talk about vaccinations and the dangers of it because they say it's false information. They say, Facebook says it's false information, and they're not going to let information like this be widespread. Very interesting where the media and these other entities are controlling what information we are allowed to see. Welcome to the show, Professor Francisco Gil White.
Thank you for having me again, Tamar. It's a pleasure to be.
Good to have you on. All right. You started out when you sent me some of the points that you wanted to make. You started out with a quote by Abraham Lincoln. You can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all of the time. Was he right?
Well, it sounds, it's the sort of thing you want to believe is true, because it's hard to see how democracy can work if it is possible to fool all of the people all of the time. And so what's useful if you're analyzing the structure of democracy, if you're interested in finding out how healthy, say, a Western democracy might be at any given point in time, it is very useful to ask yourself the question, what are the conditions under which Abraham Lincoln will be right? See, this is important to specify sort of theoretically. What in theory are the conditions that would make Abraham Lincoln come out right? Because once you specify those conditions, you can start a research program to find out how close or how far away Western democracies are from those conditions. And if it turns out we are rather far away from them, then we should worry that maybe Abraham Lincoln is wrong. But you need to ask the question. You need to specify what those conditions are. And then you need to do research on what the actual structure of our institutions is like in order to have a sense for whether Abe Lincoln was right or wrong, or at least, let's say, whether he would be right now at this moment in time about our own societies, right? Now, concerning that investigation, there's a very interesting recent development because I'm sure you've heard about the radio broadcast that Orson Welles did in 1938.
Yes.
When he did a dramatization of the novel that H.G. Wells wrote in the late 19th century called War of the Worlds. You're aware of this broadcast?
I am.
Okay, so very quickly for your listeners, what Orson Welles was a famous writer, producer, director, actor. He did everything. He's best known for Citizen Kane, which a lot of people say it's the best movie ever made. I happen to disagree with that passionately, but a lot of people say it's the best movie ever made. So it certainly made him very famous. In 1938, this is before he made Citizen Kane, in 1938, Orson Welles adapted for the radio the novel, the science fiction novel that H.G. Wells wrote in the late 19th century. And that novel, called War of the Worlds, has a very simple plot. There's these Martians who arrive in spaceships and flying saucers, and they start exterminating the human race with death rays fired from the spaceships. And the only reason the human race is saved is that towards the end of the novel, when everything seems lost, the Martians all suddenly die because there's this bacterium that the Martians have no defenses for, this earthly bacterium. And so we are miraculously saved at the last minute because they all get sick and die. All right, so Orson Welles takes this novel and he adapts it as a radio novel. But so what Orson Welles does is that he he presents the story as if he were giving news bulletins, right? So he does this as a sequence of fake news bulletins. And the story we've all heard is that Americans listening to the show were thought that the news bullet, the fake news bulletins were real. So they panicked en masse. They thought that Martians really had landed, that they were using death rays, and that the human population was being exterminated. And so, you know, there were riots in the streets and people trying to evacuate the cities and crashes in the intersections, people in the hospitals, even possible suicides, you know, all kinds of pandemonium. And it's a very sort of dramatic memory that we all have because, it's such a crazy thing that you know, Americans from coast to coast were kind of losing it because right. They thought the Russians had landed, right? So it's a very, very famous story. And in fact, in schools of communication, it is studied and talked about as an example of the power of the media, right? Now, does this case support Abraham Lincoln or does it refute him? You might be tempted to say it refutes Abraham Lincoln because the media was able to fool the entire nation and throw them into a panic. But in reality, it supports Abraham Lincoln because people were fooled maybe across the nation, but only for one day, right? So you still couldn't fool all the people all the time. They were not fooled permanently. But now there's a twist because starting in the late 1990s, a group of historians has been researching this case very carefully. And they have now conclusively shown that there was never any mass panic. There was never any mass panic. So why do we all believe that there was a mass panic in 1938? Oh, well, it turns out that we believe that because the newspapers across the board claimed that there had been a mass panic. But so how do we know that there wasn't then a mass panic? Oh, well, we know because CBS did audience response research on the very day of the broadcast and also the following morning. And that audience response research shows that almost nobody was listening to the broadcast. So 98%, excuse me?
Nobody was listening?
So 98% of the country was not listening to the broadcast, and they also have in this data that the 2% that were listening, most of them saw it as a prank. They understood that this was kind of a joke, and they didn't get scared. So the number of people who actually got scared is negligible. Now,
so are you saying that by the papers headlining mass hysteria, blah, 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 it just sells newspapers better, and that's why they did it? Because it sells?
Well, so the question of why they did it, I'd like to defer it a little bit longer. But what these historians say, well, let's start with their hypothesis. So these historians need to explain the fact, right? So the fact is, across the board, newspapers accused radio of having caused a mass panic. Now, why did they all say the same lie together?
Why?
These historians say they said this lie, all of them together, because they were trying to discredit radio. Because radio was rising as a new medium, and it was taking away advertising dollars from the newspapers. Right. So the newspapers wanted to discredit radio as this irresponsible medium that is not mature enough. It's not ready to give the news. And in this way, capture again this market that they were losing to radio. And therefore, all of that advertising revenue that they were also losing. Right. Now, so first of all, let's for the sake of argument, accept this hypothesis that, that these historians have put forward.
You know what? Hold that thought, because we have to go to a break. And when we get back, you'll continue that. I also want to ask you, so is social media to the mainstream bigger news outlets the same as what you were just talking about, radio to television, a threat to radio to television? And what, and that's what the social media today. That's where a lot of people get their news today now, not from the mainstream. Bigger news media outlets. We'll answer these questions when we get back. Don't go anywhere.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I'm Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. Our guest is Professor Francisco Gil White, and he's talking about phony, fake news events that became phony historical facts. And just before we went to a break, Professor Francisco Gil White, you were saying something, and then I want to ask you about the social media taking over, being the main place where people get the news today, rather than the main news networks that people have been relying on for so long. Go ahead.
All right. So we were saying the hypothesis that these historians put forward is that the newspapers all lied together because they were trying to discredit radio to get some of that advertising revenue back. Now, let's say we accept this hypothesis for the sake of argument. What it means is that there was no free market in newspapers, because if there were a free market in 1938, it would have been impossible to get all of the newspapers to sell such a big lie at the same time together. The fact that they were able to cooperate across the board means that they were already a covert monopoly. This kind of behavior is simply impossible under a free market, because in a free market, every single news provider has an incentive to break ranks and tell the truth. Because if you tell the truth, you embarrass every other news provider as a huge liar, you'll get the whole market. And therefore, all of those advertising revenues, okay? You'll become the truth teller, the lone truth teller. You get all the market for yourself.
Or they will label you conspiracy theorist, and they will discredit you.
Not sure I follow.
Well, I mean, there are websites on all over the internet that they claim to tell the truth. And let's say that they're right, and that the big news media outlets are not saying the truth, but these people are. They don't have gag orders on them, and or they're just telling the truth because they're not owned.
No.
So they're discredited a lot of these places.
No, but Tamar, I think we're mixing up two different things.
Okay.
When I say a free market, a free news market, that includes the big guys. So a free news market is a free news market, period. So if the news market is free, if the New York Times and the Boston Globe and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and the Los Angeles Times and everybody else is competing, that is to say, they are all independent and free, and they're competing with each other. If that's true, you can't get them to collude to tell a big lie, because any one of them benefits tremendously from breaking ranks and telling the truth. And there's no calling anybody a conspiracy theorist here, because they could put the data, they could show the data that there had been no mass panic. So the fact that they all collaborated together is prima facie evidence that there was already a covert monopoly in newspapers. But it gets better. because what the newspapers were doing was attacking radio, right? So they were saying radio is irresponsible, radio is causing a mass panic, radio is bad, blah, blah, blah. So what does radio do? I mean, CBS had the audience response data. They knew that they had not caused a mass panic. So if this is really a competition for advertising dollars, the natural thing for radio to do is to defend itself and to say, hey, wait a minute, we didn't cause a mass panic. Look, here's the audience response data. We'll publish it. But what did CBS do? They came out and they apologized for causing a mass panic. In other words, CBS Radio cooperated with the lie, which then is consistent with the hypothesis that the covert monopoly included radio. The entire media was in on it. Okay? And for 80 years and counting, because almost nobody has seen the research of these historians, it was published in Slate, and then it was commented briefly in The Guardian and a few other places, but practically nobody has seen this. So it's been 80 years and counting that everybody still thinks that there was a mass panic in 1938 where Americans from coast to coast thought the Martians had landed. So it appears that Lincoln is wrong. It appears that the structure of the media is such that it is possible to fool everybody permanently. A dramatic fake historical fact was created in 1938, and 80 years later, everybody still thinks that it happened. Now, once this sinks in, the next question is, what else have they been lying about?
Well, my question is, why would they do it? What is your conclusion?
Well, so my hypothesis as to why they did it has to do with who was buying up all of the media or indirectly trying to control it. Because it turns out that the Rockefeller family was very busy buying up lots of newspapers, and they had a very cozy relationship with the people running radio. And at the same time, they were investing heavily in what is now called psychological warfare. So they were spending fortunes supporting research by several pioneers, psychology pioneers, who were investigating what would later be called communication research, right? How to influence the masses through the media. And that kind of research is only useful if you actually control the media, which is what the Rockefeller family was trying to do. So the heavy investments in psychological warfare began in the 1930s, which is the period right before the 1938 broadcast. So, and the people they were funding, people like Paul Lazarsfeld, Hadley Cantrill, Frank Stanton, and so forth.
What are these names?
So these are the researchers that the Rockefeller Foundation was giving money to investigate psychological warfare techniques, how to use the media to influence the masses. And these people that they were funding are all involved in the broadcast. So Frank Stanton was at the time in charge of audience response research at CBS, and he would soon after become the vice president of CBS and then the president of CBS for many years. Paul Lazarsfeld was the guy who sort of prepared the manuscript, the academic manuscript that would become the book that bears Hadley Cantrill's name. But the research was mostly done by Paul Lazarsfeld and his wife. And the book is called The Invasion from Mars. And it purports to be, you know, an academic study of how the mass panic happened. The mass panic that never happened, right? This book explains how it supposedly happened. And that book became sort of the academic reference that is still being cited and quoted in schools of communication everywhere about the supposed mass panic of 1938. So, and Hadley Cantrill, who is the guy whose name is actually on that book, The Invasion from Mars, was getting a lot of money from the Rockefeller Foundation, and he was also working already for U.S. intelligence in the 1930s. And these same people, the Rockefeller researchers, because remember, 1938 is right before the beginning of World War II. So these same researchers, when World War II began, were recruited for the U.S. government's psychological warfare programs during the war. And after the war, they were clandestinely integrated into the CIA, even as they were stationed as professors in schools of communication and institutes of communication studies all over the U.S. university system. All right. So what were they doing in 1938? This is my guess. My guess is the Rockefeller family was spending a lot of money to create a system, a control system through the media, because the media has the power to create reality. Okay? We don't perceive the world. People forget this. We don't perceive the world. Every idea we have about what's happening in Mexico, what's happening in Israel, what's happening in the United States, what's happening in my own city, every idea we have about what's happening comes through the media. It doesn't come to us directly through our own senses. So if you control the media, you can literally control reality. You can tell people what supposedly is going on, and it need not be true. So the Rockefeller family was trying to create a system to create reality linked to U.S. intelligence. And what they did in 1938 was, after many years of building their control, because they began doing this earlier in the 20th century, and after some years of spending money to figure out how to use the system, in 1938 they thought they were ready, and so they tested it. They needed a test. They needed to find out if they were actually ready to produce phony history, to produce a historical fact that in fact never happened, and have it permanently lodged in people's memory. So 1938 was the day they tried it, and it worked beautifully.
And until today, people believe that there was mass hysteria caused by this Martian show on the radio.
Yes. So I recommend that your listeners go to Google and type in Slate. That's the publication where these historians published an article for a general audience about their research. So they should type Slate and War of the Worlds.
Okay, hold it right there. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and we're talking about fake news, phony fake news events that become phony historical facts. And when you have a monopoly in the media, our guest is saying, it is very easy to be able to manipulate people and to do things like that. Welcome back to the show, Professor Francisco Gilwhite.
Thank you, Tamar. So anyway, I was just wanting to share with your listeners the article written for general audience that these historians wrote in Slate. The title of it is The Myth of the War of the Worlds Panic It was written by Jefferson Pooley and Michael J. Sokolow. That's spelled S-O-C-O-L-O-W. And by the way, the work on the psychological warfare program funded by the Rockefeller family, the investigation on that was done by a different historian. His name is Christopher Simpson. And the book where he details all of that is called Science of Coercion. Just in case your listeners want to go check that out. So anyway, you had a question about social media.
Yes, and I also want to know how they're using this technique today to spread the fake news and how it's affecting us today and tie it into to today somehow.
Go ahead. No problem. So what is it about social media that you wanted to...
Well, you were saying that they have a monopoly, right? But the social media now is where everybody can make the news. They can spread it to their friends. It can go viral. And you know what they say, that a lie goes around the world before truth can get its pants on. And or the opposite, that the media may be telling us things that we know are not true because we're down here on the ground and we will now whip out our cell phone, take pictures, take video, show things, and put it up on the internet. And then we're silenced, even by places like Facebook. Here, as I gave an example with the vaccinations, I remember Fox News doing something, a little piece on it, saying that websites or social media pages that seem to be spreading false news are going to be, basically picked on right now. They're not going to be getting their full exposure that they usually get, that they're going to suppress these sites and these pages.
Well, I'm often asked this about social media, and I have to say I am not that impressed by the power of social media to compete with the narrative that big media produces. The main reason being that it just doesn't have the right amount of gravity. So for social media to really compete, there would have to be a way for a dominant narrative in social media to be shared by the people consuming social media. But that's very difficult because although in principle people can, take videos of what they're seeing and put them up and so on and so forth. It's not always clear how those videos should be interpreted. And people are putting up many different kinds of videos.
What about the claims that the Arab Spring started by social media and the yellow vests in Europe started by social media, people going into the streets? What do you have to say about that?
Well, you were not really asking me a question.
Well, I'm making a statement, so, respond to it.
No, but I didn't really understand what you're saying. So you're saying that the Arab Spring had nothing to do with social media? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that people are claiming that the social media is something that sparked the Arab Spring and sparked these yellow vests, that it was spontaneous from the people they posted on social media. And these things are, I don't believe that, by the way, but that's what a lot of people are saying. So I just want your take on that.
Well, I mean, so that's a great example of what I'm trying to say, because those of us who've done research on the Arab Spring know that the organization of the Muslim Brotherhood played a gigantic role in producing the Arab Spring. So the story that social media was dominant in that movement is not very credible, and it's not one that has been disputed by social media, right? So it's not like we got the truth about this through the social media. In fact, what people got through social media was this idea that the Arab Spring was a democratic, freedom-loving movement, which no doubt there were some people who wanted that, but the dominant mobilization came from the jihadists in the Muslim Brotherhood.
Okay, let me stop you there just for a moment. Just because we have a caller and it's long distance, he's calling in from the Netherlands, from Holland. Welcome to the show. Frank, what is your comment or question for us here at Israel News Talk Radio?
Good morning. Am I coming in loud and
clear? Loud and clear.
Okay, I'm so excited because it doesn't happen a lot of times that Professor Gilwhite is on again, following since 2012, remember? But I wanted to say that Professor Gilwhite, that the social media doesn't have that much impact, what you explain right now. But what if I notice all around me, especially in Europe, the people getting dumber and dumber by the day? They swallow everything with they might be, maybe not 10, 12, 20 years ago. They really swallow everything. I'm fighting against it my whole life about. Even before there were social media, as you said, in the 38s. What about that? I notice the people around me are getting less and less reasonable. Well, you read it all, everything all about. That I like to add or... Maybe it's a question. Hope to get an answer. Great to have you on the show. Great, great.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
It cost me a lot of money, this phone call, but I had to do it. I was in my bed and I heard Professor Gilwhite. Oh, man, I have to go out. Okay, I'm
Wonderful.
Sitting here now.
Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. So what I'd say about that is... one of the things, I'm not sure that everybody's getting more stupid. So one of the things that's really exciting about social media is not so much the news part of it, but the commentary part of it. So we now have these superstars, YouTube superstars like Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, so forth. And these people are actually making people think. They are very careful about what they say. They think a lot about the issues they consider. And then they go ahead and they debate each other in a polite yet confrontational way that is supremely enlightening, I think. And millions of people are watching these videos, sometimes billions of people. So I don't think people are that stupid. I think people are demonstrating through these new YouTube superstars that they want intelligent discussion. It's just not what the media gives them, right? But when they see it, they go for it. They want it. They consume it. What the mainstream media does, what the big media does, is they create these tribes. They produce these identities that make it very difficult for people to talk to each other. That's what identity politics is all about. And identity politics is a movement that was very heavily sort of driven by the media since the late 1960s, starting with the 1970s, and it's been getting stronger and stronger and stronger. But this has been a conditioning process. And I think that these, for example, people like Jordan Peterson are fighting identity politics. Joe Rogan is doing the same thing. And I think they're doing it well. And a lot of people are listening. So I don't think people are getting more stupid. What I do think, though, is that social media doesn't have the capacity to give us news, because there's just too many voices there, and it's too
loud.
Work.
Too loud.
It's too loud.
You have 1 minute to sum up. We have 1 minute left in the show. What do you want to leave us with?
It's just too hard for people to do the research and find out who's telling you the truth and who isn't. If social media could really tell us, could really substitute the news, then blogs would have substituted the news years ago also. But there's just too many blogs, and it's too much work to figure out who's telling the truth and who isn't. So people take refuge in the big media brands because that's the effect of brands under uncertainty. Now, I know Tamar wanted me to say something about what sorts of manipulations might be going on with a controlled media, in geopolitics.
But you only have 1 minute. We're finishing the show. You have 1 minute.
I'm just going to finish on this note. Well, obviously, the big media have been pushing us into a more anti-Semitic universe as we move into the future. And we are now at levels, that resemble what was going on in 1938, 1939. It's worrisome. And the people who created the system, the Rockefellers, were huge anti-Semites who were funding at the same time the eugenics movement that became German Nazism. So there are lots of reasons to worry about
where the system is being led towards.
Okay, and what do you want to leave us with?
So what I want to leave you with, if I have to leave you with a recommendation, it would be don't trust everything you read in the big media, and try to look for the hidden agenda in what you read, and compare what different people are saying, and look for inconsistencies, contradictions, because that's the only real way to sort of piece together what might really be happening. Mm.
And you know, it's the media mostly leans to the left. That's the impression that we get. And I want to do a show on that as well, to explore the left, how it works, and the media as well. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Professor Francisco Gil White. Always enlightening to have you on. Always a privilege, always a joy and pleasure. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, Tamar.
And thank you all as well. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to write in tamar@israelnewstalkradio.com.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the israelnewstalkradio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.